many roads must a man walk down before he's called a man?
And how many seas must the white dove sail before he sleeps in the sand?
How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned?
The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind.
How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free?
How many times can a man turn his back and pretend that he just doesn't see?
The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind.
How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky?
How many ears must one man have until he can hear people cry?
How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died?
The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind.
The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind.
The answer is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. And now we return to Dr. Carl Hart, Tom Ashbrook, and The War on Drugs.
Let me get one more from Guthrie, Oklahoma. Steve, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My comment is regarding the commercialization or the industry of processing people caught up in the web of drugs. You just have to look around at the industry along the Texas border, for instance, and other border states, where really you have people who are really churning out the money based on this whole system that we have. You look around here locally, and you'll see every week in a small community of Edmond, Guthrie area, you'll have maybe 10, 20 more people or more people arrested and processed in the system. I really think there's a financial incentive to keep the system the way it is.
Do you mean in incarceration or the drug cartels or who? What, Steve?
I mean of the citizenry. They're being arrested. They're being fined, penalized. Lawyers are making money. The court system basically is part and parcel of it.
Yeah, yeah. And you see it at that level, even in your Edmond Guthrie area there, not a major metropolis. Carl Hart, if I may bring that to you, Tyrone writes us along the same line. Online says, the war on drugs will never end for the same reason the so-called war on terror won't. He says there are too many in government, including law enforcement, who make too much money prosecuting these so-called wars. Carl.
I share his frustration, but I'm an educator, and I have to believe that education will ultimately set us all free. That's one of the reasons that I wrote the book. I wrote the book in this way, so it would be accessible to the greatest numbers of people. And once the people start to see what is really happening in their names, I have to believe that the people will change what's going on.
Dr. Poussaint, you wrote Come On, People, On the Path from Victims to Victors with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby's famous as a kind of a curmudgeon on some of these things. Mm-hmm. Come On, People sort of expresses that. Just get your act together and act right and straighten up. And would somebody with Bill Cosby's perspective sign off on decriminalizing drugs?
I don't know. You would have to ask Bill Cosby. But I think his position fundamentally is that you shouldn't give up trying to make something of yourself, no matter what's going on around you. you that you have to try to overcome. For instance, a way of looking at Dr. Hart's success is that he overcame the odds.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Yes.
But you could have many, many black youth overcome the odds if you had community supports, good education, and so on. It wouldn't be the exception of one getting through. Bill Cosby himself was an exception. He grew up in the projects, and he became quite successful. So because of his own experience of persevering, he wants to send the message to young people, yeah, it's rough out there, there are drugs out there, there's homes, there's crime, there's poverty, but keep trying to make something of yourself. Don't just yield to being a victim. That's what they want you to do. That's another way of demonizing you and exploiting you to make you a victim.
There was a big petition sent to President Obama just in April, just a couple of months ago, calling for an end to the war on drugs. It was signed by lots of entertainers and everybody else, including civil rights leader Harry Belafonte, Julian Bond, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, right on down. Would you, Alvin Poussant, favor this broad decriminalization? Or are you afraid that that would...
In terms of that petition you just talked about, Obama?
I guess in terms of along the lines that Carl Hart has laid...
And Al Sharpton on, and I'll sign on.
Okay. But you hear Carl Hart saying decriminalize across a pretty wide range of illegal drugs here.
Yeah,
Would that work, or are you afraid that would bring more drugs
I think that we have to look at that. And I think it takes a lot of heads, a lot of brains, and people coming together to look at all aspects of it. What would be the fallout? What would happen to certain people in the population who could be classified as addicts? Mm-hmm. How would it play out economically and affecting the black community or the entire country? Mm-hmm. I think all of those things would have to be discussed. You would need not just a think tank, but an action tank of people from all walks of life, the people who are affected, the families who are affected, the therapists, the social workers, everyone, the school teachers, to see how this would affect the institutions in America. As at least it would be one way of dealing with what has amounted to institutional racism with the war on drugs.
Carl Hart, paint the picture as you have imagined it. You've thought this through. If we went down this road, what would it look like? How would it be implemented? What would have to come along with the decriminalization?
Well, we have a model. We in Portugal, they have decriminalized drugs. In 2001, they decriminalized all drugs. I think they have a great model. Their model is that when we are worried about people who are addicted, and certainly in their model leaves room to make sure people get treatment who needs treatment. For example, if people are caught with a certain amount of drug or caught with drugs in general for possession, they meet before an administrative board that is comprised of a physician, a social worker, somebody who has skills in terms of this health problem, if it's a health problem. They evaluate the person to see where the person needs to be, whether or not the person has a problem, and then they make a decision from there. The person may receive a fine. The person may not receive a fine. They may be sent to the treatment. All depends on the evaluation. One of the things that's absent from this sort of board is law enforcement. And one of the things that I want to make clear here, this has been a major problem with U.S. drug policy. Law enforcement has had too much of a voice in terms of the effects of drugs, what drugs do, and drug policy. They have no training in pharmacology, no training in the behavioral sciences, but yet they're always asked to be at the table with a big voice. And that's part of the problem. In fact, the director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy is always a law enforcement official. The first thing we should do is correct that and place somebody there who actually knows something about drugs.
Why do you think we've gone this way as a nation? We vote with our feet or with our policy. Why have we, in our actions, preferred incarceration to the kind of approach you're suggesting, Carl?
Because people do not want to be seen as soft on crime, especially when the consequences of that action or those actions impact disproportionately black people. If our prison populations look differently, I think that we would have some serious reconsideration of what we're doing.
Ashish is calling from Boston. Ashish, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just have a quick question for your physician guest. Mm-hmm. That he said that there is no scientific evidence that use or chronic use of drugs leads to cognitive issues or cognitive problems. But as there are some studies that have been published over the years that show that people who abuse these illicit drugs and even drugs that are used for treatments of various conditions, such as chemotherapy drugs, do cause a lot of problems in the brain. You can see the brain actually shrinking. So what does he have to say on that? I mean, this is not a policy question. So
Ashish, well, what's your familiarity with this realm? Are you in the research business?
Yes, I am. I actually finished my research fellowship at the Harvard Medical School, and I'm looking to go into clinical training in neurology. So I was just wondering if this is something that I sort of completely have a bad sense of, or is there something that your guest has some other sort of
insight on? I appreciate your call, Ashish. Carl Hart, how about it? You hear Ashish's skepticism there that there aren't cognitive issues tied to any number of these drugs.
Thank you. That's a great question. I'm more comfortable answering those questions. Ashish, one of the things that I did recently is that I did a review of the literature in terms of the cognitive literature and the brain imaging literature. When we look at a drug like methamphetamine, that drug people said was causing all of these cognitive disruptions and so forth. Now, what I concluded, and the paper is published in Neuropsychopharmacology 2012, what I found is that researchers have overinterpreted their data. When you actually look at the data, the cognitive impairments that were stated are not supported by the actual evidence. But please, I really encourage you to get the book. I detail this in chapter 15 in that 2012 paper in Neuropsychopharmacology. Look up my name. We have overstated it even in science.
Susan in Boston. Thanks for calling, Susan. You're on.
Hi, Tom. I'm calling to agree with the doctor. I'm a neuroscientist myself. I study alcoholism, and I'm aware of how much worse alcohol is than some of the drugs that are being decriminalized in this country right now, particularly marijuana. If you look at the public health data, they did not put out a paper in 2010 that showed that marijuana was much less harmful than alcohol to the individual users as well as to society. So that's one of the reasons why I think marijuana in particular should be decriminalized.
Susan, let me pick it up right there, if I may. Our time is short. Alvin Poussaint, Carl Hart, I'm looking at the Rolling Stone, the latest issue of Rolling Stone in front of me, and the cover headline is How We Won the War on Pot. I mean, the needle is moving on marijuana in this country. People are making a lot of comment about this.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Poussaint, this is not the first state where this has really happened in the biggest way is the quite white Colorado. Interesting that that's where the first sort of easing of the old regime has come, but not in the communities Carl Hart and you are focused
on. Well, I think that where our problems affecting whites, or they're engaged in the behavior and the activity of drug use, they're going to find ways so that they're not going to be the victims of the police department and put into jail. They then have a vested interest in decriminalization of marijuana.
Their kids, themselves, yeah.
And look, it's working, isn't it? Around the country, it seems to be spreading as a movement, and even brought the federal government moving them to look at this in a new way. So I think it's important to bring these issues up, even with regard to other drugs like cocaine and even heroin, to look at what the effects would be, and also to be realistic about who's using the drugs. White people use more crack cocaine than black people use offhand, but it's the black people who get arrested. And we have to do something about education and the myths that go with this. I remember, because I dealt with families, all this information coming out about crack babies.
Yeah.
That if you had one shot of crack, you destroyed your baby if you were pregnant, and they would be damaged for life.
Yeah.
This turned out not to be true.
Carl Hart, we've got 15 seconds. Are you finding open ears to your argument, or back off, mister?
I think this conversation demonstrates that people have been receptive. I think the time is right, and I really appreciate having an opportunity to share the message with your listeners.
I want to thank you both for being with us today. Dr. Alvin Poussaint at Harvard Medical School, author of Lay My Burden Down. Dr. Poussaint, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Tom.
And Carl Hart, Dr. Carl Hart at Columbia University, professor of psychology there, author of High Price, A Neuroscientist's Journey of Self-Discovery that challenges everything you know about drugs and society. Dr. Hart, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, damn guys ain't dumb. Maybe get a pistol on your little finger. Maybe get a blister on your thumb. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. Hawaiian noises, he's banging on the bongos like a chimpanzee. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing, get your chicks for free. We got to install microwave oven, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Money for nothing.
All you need is love. All together now. Love is a holiday. 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 Love is a holiday.
And now for something completely different.